Today on The King is Coming.
So watch out for people who are going to downplay the rapture, who are going to deny the rapture, dismiss the rapture, who are going to want to even try to reinterpret the rapture to mean something else. Those kinds of philosophies and beliefs, I believe, come from Satan. Why is the rapture such a big deal? And why are we spending 7 episodes to talk about it here on The King is Coming? You're going to find out next as we talk about 7 reasons why the rapture is important to your life.
Jesus spoke often about the end of the world and what it would mean for you as a believer. In Matthew 24, he said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places." Jesus wasn't trying to scare us. He was preparing us. In our brand new 6-part DVD series, Jesus and the End of the World, we'll uncover what Jesus taught about the signs of the times, the hope of his return, and how we can live with courage and faith in uncertain days. Call now to receive this powerful series for any gift of $45 or more to The King is Coming today. Discover how the words of Jesus will bring clarity, confidence, and hope for today and tomorrow. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com. Thank you.
Well, welcome, friends. We're here at The King is Coming, and we're talking about an incredible topic that all Christians should know about. It's the rapture of the church. Now, we have to ask ourselves why the rapture is such an important deal. Well, we've talked about already what the rapture actually is, and we unpacked it verse by verse from Paul's prophecies in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And we saw there that Jesus Christ is coming back to rescue his church and to take us up to heaven. And then we talked about some of the main objections to the rapture today, because quite honestly, the rapture is under attack. So many people are launching really angry attacks at the rapture. And I'll tell you, right here, Jeff Kinley at The King is Coming, I get more hate mail about the rapture than any other topic. Why? We talk about that in that episode. Well, the third thing we talked about here at The King is Coming is some of the timing issues concerning the rapture, because there are different views concerning when Jesus is coming back at the rapture. And we laid out some reasons why we believe that the pre-tribulational rapture view is the most scriptural and most tenable. Well, now we come to this great question here. Why is the rapture so important to begin with? I mean, why is it such a big deal? And why should I begin to study it more in my own life? And how do I apply it to my life? Well, let's talk about some of these things, because people will say to you, they'll say the rapture is an unnecessary doctrine. It's definitely a secondary doctrine. Some call it a tertiary doctrine or an unimportant doctrine. Now, I think it's important to say this. What a person believes about the rapture or the timing of the rapture does not impact their salvation, okay? The way we come to Christ is by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in his finished work on the cross. And listen, most people who do that, in fact, I would say all people who do that, have no view of the rapture or of the end times. They just want to get saved, right? So it's not a salvation issue. However, there are many doctrines in the Bible that are not salvation related, they're not salvific at all, but they're still incredibly, immensely important doctrines. And I believe that the rapture is one of those doctrines, and we'll find out one of the reasons why here in just a moment. So let's ask the question here, is it that big of a deal, and why should it be a big deal in our lives? Let me give you 7 reasons here. Number one, the rapture is a big deal because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Listen, when we study the Bible, these 66 books of the Bible, the scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, it says, "All scripture is inspired by God." So 2 words you need to know there, all and inspired. So it doesn't say some are inspired, some are partially inspired, some are more inspired than others. It says all scripture is inspired by God. Now, granted, when you read through certain books of the Bible, you may be in Numbers or Leviticus or whatever, and you may say, wow, this is not quite as inspiring to me, but God inspired it to be written. And every book and every chapter and every verse has a specific purpose in God's canon. The scripture tells us that because the scripture is true, then everything that is in the scripture is important. So we don't really skip over things, especially something that determines the difference between going through the tribulation and wrath of God and not going through the tribulation and the wrath of God. But the rapture, as we've already seen, is in the Bible. We see it in John 14, see it in 1 Corinthians 15, we see it in 1 Thessalonians 1, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Thess 5. It's in the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 10. And so it's in the Bible, and that's a reason why it's important. Second reason that the rapture is so important is because, according to Scripture, it is the next prophetic event on God's calendar. Now, a lot of people study Bible prophecy today, and myself included. I've written dozens of books about Scripture and about Bible prophecy, and so has Dr. Ed Heinzen. Well, why do we write so many things about it? Well, because we believe that the rapture is the next prophetic event. There are other prophetic things that are happening all around us right now, and we know that we are in a time of prophetic fulfillment there, but people will look at the birth of Israel and May 14th, 1948. Well, that's a significant event. It is. But there hasn't been a specific fulfilled major prophecy since Israel became a nation again. And as you search through your Bible, you will find that the rest of the prophecies concerning the end times, they all deal with the tribulation period. With right around the beginning of the tribulation period. But when you study the rapture, what you find out is that there aren't any precursors or any signs that lead up to the rapture event. That's why we call it an imminent rapture. It means it could happen at any given time, because God has His own timing. Some people try to put a time on the rapture and try to predict the date, but any time that anyone predicts the date of the rapture, you know they're wrong, because God told us that nobody knows the day or the hour. And so it's the next prophetic event on God's calendar. And because of that, that's another reason why it should be so important to our lives. The third reason why the rapture is so important is because of the times in which we are living. Now, I want to go to 1 John here for just a second and point out something that John teaches us that I think is very, very significant to our lives today. John is writing to believers, and he's writing about the last days. And Scripture tells us in 1 John 2:18, he says, "Children, it is the last hour. And just as you heard that Antichrist is coming, even now, many antichrists have arisen. From this we know that it is the last hour." So two things that John tells us there. Number one, he tells us that we are living in the last hour. Now, John could have said we're living in the last year, or the last season, or the last month, or the last day, but he didn't. He chose to be so specific and so confined with his language. He wanted us to know how soon the Lord would return, and he used the word hour, the last hour. So if that's true, and it's been 2,000 years since John wrote this, and it was the last hour then where in the world are we on God's timeline? Could we be in the last minutes of history? Maybe in the last seconds of history? Listen, the Bible tells us we are living in the last days. Now, technically, the last days are the time from Christ's first coming to Christ's second coming. So all of that encompasses the last days. It's all a part of God's prophetic narrative. But within the last days, you have the last of the last days, which would be the tribulation period. But we are still in the last days because we are in a post-first century world. And so John wanted us to know that we're living in the last days. Well, if the rapture is going to happen in the last days, then it certainly makes sense for us to recognize the fact of the times in which we're living. And do you know why so many Christians today, they ignore the fact that they are living in the last days? Do you know why that happens? Well, one of the reasons that happens is because no one's told them they're living in the last days. You know why else they don't know that? I'll tell you when we come back. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So why don't Christians know that we're living in the last days today? Well, people write me all the time and say, Jeff, my pastor won't talk about the last days. He won't talk about Israel. He won't talk about the rapture. He won't talk about the second coming or Antichrist. In fact, he's never touched the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel. And even when he did, he just used it for life lessons. Well, there are many pastors today that feel inadequate to cover some of these deeper theological, eschatological topics. In fact, I've been to many churches where the pastor will say to his congregation, hey, I don't really know the end times that well and Revelation, but this guy over here, Jeff Kinley, he's going to come tell us about it. And so I partner many times with pastors for that very reason. But people don't know about the last days because their pastors have never told them. And they're looking to their pastors to gain biblical truth. There's another reason why people don't know about the last days, and that's really the next reason why we should study the rapture, is because, number four, the bride is asleep. The bride of Christ is asleep. The church is asleep. And he said, Jeff, well, why do you say that the church is asleep? Well, two things. Number one, when Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and keep in mind, these people did not have Bibles like you and I have Bibles. They didn't have bound scriptures. They didn't have the Old and New Testaments they carried around with them in their back pocket. They had, of course, the Old Testament. The New Testament believers did, but they didn't have the New Testament yet. There were still letters just being circulated at that time. And so Paul, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And then he tells them about the rapture. So one of the reasons why the bride is asleep today is because of that ignorance that we refer to. Now, when I say ignorance, I don't mean they're stupid. I don't mean they're dumb. It just means they lack information. You know the old phrase, knowledge is power? Well, in many cases, it is. The more knowledge you have, the more power you feel. If you get up in the middle of the night and it's a pitch black room and you don't know how to make it to the bathroom or down the hallway or whatever, if you have knowledge of what's in that room ahead of time, you're not afraid. And when you turn the light on, you have even more knowledge and you're less afraid. So what God's Word does is it flips the lights on for us and helps us understand what's going on in the world. But when the church is asleep and doesn't know these things, then she lives in fear. She lives in confusion. And many times she is susceptible to deceptions as it's related to the last days. And so that's one of the reasons why when I travel to churches, when I go to conferences and speak and travel, one of the things I do is I help Christians understand that these truths are found in the Word of God, because my job is to help you be equipped. I don't want you to accept my word for it. I want you to accept God's word for it. And so the church was ignorant, and ignorance breeds fear and confusion. But also Jesus says this to the church of Sardis in Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. He says, wake up and strengthen the things that remain. Now, who do you tell to wake up? Not someone who's already awake. You tell them someone who's asleep. You wake them up. And listen, if you've raised kids, you know that some kids are easier to wake up than others. Some you turn the light on, they're awake. Others you have to shake them in the bed to get them awake, especially if they're a teenage boy, which we raised three of them, okay? So some people take longer to wake up. But the church today must wake up. And my friends, this is the reason why we do this program called The King is Coming. We want to help wake the bride so that the bride can know and understand what God says about the King who is coming. And so in this passage, he tells this church to wake up. You say, well, Jeff, why should we wake up today? Any evidence that we're not woken in a true biblical sense? Well, George Barna did a study, and this is what he found. He found that 19% of professing Christians read their Bibles every day. 19%. He said that 18% read their Bibles once a week, and 20% never read their Bibles. So if you've got five people in a church, one of them read their Bible every day that week. If you've got 100 people in the church, only about 20 of them read their Bible. So the percentages are very small, and sometimes those percentages will go down very, very low. In fact, during the whole COVID pandemic thing, Bible reading, daily Bible reading went down to like 9%. And so because we're not in the scriptures as a church-wide, then that contributes to what I call biblical illiteracy. Biblical illiteracy just simply means I don't know what the Bible says. And though people can quote verses, random verses, you know, John 3:16 or whatever, Lord's my shepherd, or I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, they still don't know what the Bible teaches, especially as it concerns eschatology. And so that biblical illiteracy will lead to a theological bankruptcy. In other words, you go to their theological bank account in their heart, there's nothing there because they don't know how to explain some of these concepts that we see teaching. And that eventually contributes to our spiritual weakness in the world today. So you ask yourself, why are we not making more of an impact on our society? It's because a large percentage of the church is snoozing. They're spiritually snoozing, and they need to be woken up. So why is the rapture so important? Because the bride is asleep. And if you knew of a bride near her wedding day that was just sleeping all day long, you would say, honey, you need to get up. You need to get dressed. You need to put on some makeup and get that photographer ready and that florist ready, get the preacher ready, and get on down to the church and get married. So the bride is asleep. Number five, the reason why the rapture is so important is because, as we mentioned earlier, there are no signs preceding it. Now, why is that such a big deal? Here's why. Because for the second coming of Jesus, we have a lot of signs. We have multiple signs. We have dozens and dozens of signs leading to the second coming of Christ. The whole book of Revelation, much of the book of Daniel, tells us all about the signs that tell us that Christ is coming in his second coming. However, when it comes to the rapture event, there is not a single specific sign. Now, we know that there's going to be apostasy in the last days. We know that other prophecies concerning the Temple Mount, globalism, Antichrist, Mark of the Beast, those things may be, you know, in formation in various stages, but none of them say anything regarding the timing of the rapture. It's what we call an imminent event. And the word imminence simply means that which is pending, inevitable, about to happen, forthcoming, certain to happen, and next to occur. Now, here's the big question. Did the early church believe in this doctrine of imminence that Christ could come back at any time? I'll tell you when we come back. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So did the early church believe in this doctrine we call imminence, or the belief that Christ could come back at any moment, meaning it could happen today? Did they really believe that? Well, let's see what the scripture says. I did a study of the New Testament, and I found a couple of dozen verses that show us the spirit of the early church. Let me just read to you some of them. Romans 13:11, knowing the time that it is already the hour. The very next verse. The night is almost gone, the day is near. 1 Corinthians 1:7, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior. Philippians 4:5, the Lord is near. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, to wait for His Son from heaven. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ will appear a second time to those who eagerly await him. Hebrews 10:25. Encourage one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. Hebrews 10:37. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and he will not delay. 1 Peter 1:13. Fix your hope on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jude 21. Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy of his deliverance from the coming tribulation. Now look at what Revelation says. Revelation 3:11 says, I am coming quickly. Revelation 22:7, behold, I'm coming quickly. Revelation 22:12, behold, I'm coming quickly. Revelation 22:20, behold, I'm coming quickly. Do you think God's trying to give us a message here? Do you think Jesus wants us to know he is coming quickly and that we should be ready at all times to meet him? I think so. I think this kind of repetition that we see gives us an indication of the kind of people we ought to be. And in fact, one verse I skipped over is 1 Corinthians 16:22. Paul just says, Maranatha. And that's an Aramaic term that is only found here in the whole Bible. And it simply means, oh, Lord, come. Oh, Lord, come. We believe this is how Christians greeted one another when they saw each other at church. They said, Maranatha. And when they left at the end of the service on that Sunday night, which is where they initially met, they said, Maranatha. In other words, I probably won't see you next week because we're going to be raptured between now and then. That's how imminent they believed in the rapture. And my friend, I fear that we have lost that spirit of expectation. We lost that eagerness, that anxious awaiting of the Lord's return. Someone has comically said, there's not a single problem that I don't have that the rapture wouldn't solve today. And you know what? That's really true. No matter what you're going through in your life, the rapture will solve all of your problems. And so that's another reason why we should be saying more to one another, Maranatha, Maranatha. So that's a very important reason why the rapture should be a big deal, because there are no signs preceding it. It's an imminent event. Reason number six, why the rapture is such a big deal. The rapture is such a big deal because Satan hates the rapture. Satan hates the rapture. Jeff, why would Satan hate the rapture? Well, we know from what Jesus said about Satan, John 8:44. It says that Satan is the father of lies, that all he knows to do is to lie. So whatever it is about Christianity, he's going to lie about it. Scripture also says, Revelation 12:9, 13, 14, that he's the one who deceives humanity. Revelation 20, verse 3, also says he is the deceiver, the great deceiver of humanity. So Satan will deceive people concerning the rapture. Anything that's important to the bride, he's going to deceive her on. And then 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that he is the god of this world who blinds the eyes of those so that they won't believe the gospel. So if Satan is blinding unbelievers, he's obviously also wanting to blind the eyes of believers as well. Satan hates the rapture because he knows it's our wedding day. Satan doesn't want you to know that there is a wedding day for you. He doesn't want you to know what that wedding day is all about. And he certainly doesn't want you to know about the timing of the wedding day. He wants you to just live your life without any thought of Christ coming back for you, because it's your salvation. It's your blessed hope. So Satan hates the rapture. So watch out for people who are going to downplay the rapture, who are going to deny the rapture, dismiss the rapture, who are going to want to even try to reinterpret the rapture to mean something else. Those kinds of philosophies and beliefs, I believe, come from Satan. Finally, why should we study the rapture? Let's go to Titus 2:13 at a verse we referenced earlier, and let's see what the Bible actually says. Paul is writing to these to Titus and to these believers there under his care, and he says in verse 13, he says, looking for the blessed hope and the appearance of our and the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This verse tells us that if you're to be actively looking for something, you're to be looking for the blessed hope. You're to be looking for the rapture. You're looking for him. You're not looking for Antichrist. You're not looking for the second coming. You're not looking for the mark of the beast. We are looking for the blessed hope. We are waiting for the blessed hope. And what kind of hope is this? Well, the Bible tells us it's hope of deliverance from tribulation and wrath. And by the way, hope in Scripture is not wishing for something. Hope means confident expectation. Did you get that? Hope equals confident expectation. So confident expectation that we'll be delivered from tribulation and wrath. Confident expectation that we'll be delivered from sin, temptation, and this old nature that lives inside every one of us. There's coming a day, my friend, where you'll never be tempted. Guess what solves that? The rapture is going to solve that for you if you're alive during the rapture. It's also hope of reunion with loved ones. If you've known someone that's gone on to be with Jesus, you're looking forward to seeing them one day. Guess what? You're going to meet them in the air if you're a part of the rapture. Isn't that exciting? I can't wait to see my mom, my dad, people that I know, blessed brothers and sisters, and you will see them too. That's the kind of hope that the rapture gives you. And then finally, the rapture gives you the hope of heaven. The Bible says that the rapture, we go to be with Jesus and we stay with him forever. And that's a hope that we have. That's the blessed hope. So is the rapture a big deal? I think we've seen from these seven reasons today, it sure is. I hope it's a big deal in your life. God bless you. I'll see you next time when the King is coming. My latest book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, is a book that takes you to the end times through the eyes of Jesus himself. If you'd like a copy of this book, make a donation to The King is Coming. God bless.
You don't want to miss this opportunity to get Jeff Kinley's newest book. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you. The parables of Jesus can seem like some of the most mysterious and difficult stories to understand. Why did he speak in parables? What do they mean? Introducing The Parables of the Apocalypse, a powerful seven-part teaching series that unlocks the prophetic truths hidden in the stories Jesus taught his disciples in the last week of his life on earth. From the Lord's Prayer, to the faithful slave, to the parable of the fig tree, these are not just ancient lessons, they are urgent messages for our time. What do these parables reveal about the return of Christ? And more importantly, are you ready? Don't miss this eye-opening journey into the words of Jesus, because the signs are speaking and the time is near. Now available exclusively from The King is Coming for your gift of $45 or more. Call now or visit thekingiscoming.com to get your copy today.
We've been studying Uncovering the Mysteries of God here at The King is Coming, and I've written a book by the same title. I'd love for you to have a copy. Just go to thekingiscoming.com and order your copy today.
For any gift of $20 or more, order your copy of Uncovering the Mysteries of God today. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com.